Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 133. I'm Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we got a couple new things, and I have seen about 8 billion different things in the last week. I doubt we'll get to them all. And that, you know, because I saw all these things, I thought we'd put Game of Thrones right at the top of the show. Season 7 is wrapped up. Kind of a divisive season, I would say, for fans. We've talked about it a little bit as it went along, but now that it's all said and done, I just wanted to get our thoughts on what we thought of the finale, what we thought of the season as a whole. And I guess I'll let you go first. I don't know if I saw you talking about like what you thought of it, so it's been kind of new to me.
Yeah, the season was weird. It was up and down.
Yeah.
But I was not disappointed in the finale. Like, it was fine. It wasn't the big blowout that I think everybody wanted. They wanted, like, a betrayal or something, you know, in the dragon pit. They something along the lines of the Red Wedding, I think, people wanted. And that was never going to happen. The characters that are left, they're going to be around going into next season. I don't think that was ever really in doubt.
Yeah, I guess I would have liked to see more happen there. I understand everything that you're saying. I mean, big things happen in the finale.
Yeah.
But I think a problem is a lot of big things that happened were pretty easy to call. Like,
yeah.
This is a show that, like typically, like back in the day, really slapped you in the face, like the Red Wedding. You're like, you're not, I mean, maybe you were because you read the books. You're not expecting that, though, like the first time, whether you're reading it or just watching the show. Like, it comes out of nowhere. It kills, you know, people that you think are main characters, and they are somehow unable to do that anymore now that they've stepped out ahead of the books.
Well, I don't even think it's – I think that you'll see that the books are going to run into the same problem, is that there's
not a lot of people left, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people left. You're focusing on a very small segment, and there's not much story left. Like,
but the good thing with not much story left is you could really kill off people. But you got to do it in a way that does not fuck up the story, I guess you're trying to tell, if that makes any sense. Like there's an end goal, you know.
And they've had things like that. They're kind of going off an outline that Martin wrote. So there are probably very clearly things that, like, he was like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. So I assume there are characters that are required for there. And, like, a lot of people are like, oh, there's too much plot armor for these guys. And it's a show that, like, as you said, like the Red Wedding, like, it's holy shit. Like, they come out and, you know, they kill Lady Stark, and they kill Robb Stark. And it's like, Jesus, like, where the hell did that even come from? But you had such a prolific cast of characters at that point that...
Yeah, but it's just, I get what people are saying, though, about the plot armor, because Martin is such a nihilistic writer. Like, he is, you know, cynical, and anybody could die at any time, right? Like, that's kind of, like, I think, built into his storytelling. And now it's just, like, doing the thing that you could predict. Like, you know, I mean, there's big moments that are cool, but it's like
endings are hard, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, you look at, like, even like I love the Dark Tower series, but like the ending of that is, while it's really cool, like, a lot of people are like, it's a fucking cop out, and like, endings are tough. It's really tough, especially something as big as this. Like, it's, you know, we're, what, 8 seasons of TV, 7 books long. Like, it's hard to wrap up, and hopefully they stick the landing for the most part next season. I wasn't, like, super disappointed in anything that happened. It was just, it didn't blow me away. But
the finale or the season as a whole?
The whole season. Like, there were parts of it that were like, holy shit. Like, but, yeah, like, the whole season was like, all right, like, some things happened. So sometimes it looked like we were taking a step backward. Sometimes it just made absolutely zero sense because everything is being told in like fast forward right now.
Yeah, that's another complaint that people have too. I get what people are saying with that as well. With the fast, you know, everything's going a little fast paced.
Yeah,
but I also if, on my list of gripes, that's like not even on it. Like,
oh, sure.
For me, you can't call a show rushed that's 7 seasons in. I'm sorry. So, yeah, it's 7. Shit is happening now. It's not. I understand it feels. I might like feel a little rushed, but to say like shit can't start like happening with some sort of finality.
But no, I don't even know if that's so much. I think like there's a pace to the other seasons that this is
This is definitely bouncing. It's bouncing from it's moving at a faster clip, and it doesn't feel like you're getting as much of like the political intrigue and stuff that you would be getting earlier on, which for me, like the political intrigue and stuff like that, that's one of the very best parts of the show. But you've built up to all these things. It's time for some payoffs,
and it's time to actually play the game. Like,
yeah, exactly, and that's what we're doing now.
Like all the pieces have been set, start moving them around. It just seems, I think, and even for me, it's like, you know, you go from one scene where it's like, all right, you know, Jon Snow is here, he's at Winterfell, and like in the, you know, the very next scene, like he's at Dragonstone. Like it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Like it's all the way on the other side of the world, and he just went there and like, you know, Gendry.
It's a great example.
Like, he runs like 60 miles in 10 minutes.
He's able to get a
bird over to Dragonstone, and she's able to fly her dragon there.
Within the span of a night. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you know, it clearly seemed like they were walking for days or whatever, or at least, you know, minimum 12 hours or whatever, you know, they were walking a long time, and all of a sudden this dude can run back and call for help.
Yeah. It's little plot things, but the show's still a ton of fun.
I mean, there were moments this season, like, dude, when she whips out her dragon finally on the Lannister army.
Yeah.
That was an amazing, like, payoff. It was just an amazing moment. We were like, oh, they finally did it, you know? And then when the dragons get used again and it doesn't turn out so well, I mean, at least for me, I thought that was super, super cool. Like, I get over all of the things that people are nitpicking. Like, I have no problem with them. I found this season actually very entertaining, but I do have one major, major problem with this season that I cannot get over. And it's driving me nuts, dude. And it's my main problem is the plan to go get the whites, like one of the zombies.
So stupid.
It's stupid. And it comes from Tyrion, who is the smartest character on the show. And for him to not understand, like, he should know better than anybody that Cersei does not care. She will say, yeah, whatever, and stab you in the back.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was saying that, and then guess what happened in the finale? Exactly that. I mean, it was very convoluted the way it played out. But at the end of it all, she's saying, I'm going to screw them over, which is like, I just feel like Tyrion, exactly, like earlier on, Martin would not have made that mistake. Like, that's a big mistake, I think. And it led to like probably my favorite episode of the season. But just the reasoning for them to be out there doing that stuff, I thought was stupid. It was such a huge risk to try to prove something to someone who is unreasonable. She's not a reasonable player in this. Like, she's the fucking villain. She's crazy, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even then, like, I don't even know. I think she knew. I think she knew that they were real. She doesn't care. And yeah, when Euron, like, you know, Jamie's like, well, you know, Euron's left. Like, do you really think that he left? No. Like, I sent him to go get more troops for us. Like, I just needed a theatrical scene, like where he's like, "Oh, I'm fucking out." Like,
Yeah, it's just some of the logic behind her like little scheme on this is weird, but like really my ultimate problem is Tyrion not realizing that she would not be on the level. Or just she like you said, she doesn't care.
well,
Great,
because
there's zombies.
he's been the one playing the game the best, like the entire time.
Yes.
And now it's like, I'm gonna let her, who she's not particularly smart, like she continues to lose everybody around her, to the point where she drove Jamie away in this episode. And
Yeah.
like, you're gonna tell me that
She
Tyrion, the
can't.
smartest guy in the show, can't like outsmart her?
Yeah, I know. Or just I just for him to think that she would listen when this is a character who she can't see past 2 feet in front of her face, you know. I mean, there's hints of her having like a larger scheme sometimes, but it's always just to fuck people over and to keep in power. And it's just, I don't know. It really, really bugs me. Although, because you did mention what I thought was a really cool scene was her and Jamie. I thought, like, if he would have got killed there, that would have been like the first big surprise I thought in the finale. But it played out really weirdly because it looked like she gave the order to kill, and he's like, I'm out of here. And he just walked out.
Yeah, I don't know
And
what
she just
happened
let it
there,
go. I
but
was like, okay. And then I see people saying, like, I'm just going to speculation briefly, like, that, like, he's gonna kill her. And I know there's, like, a prophecy and all this bullshit. But it's, like, I just don't like people reading the character's stuff that was not there. Jaime has always been extremely loyal to Cersei, and she's basically. How he operates is what she wants he does. And for the people to go, well, he's gonna flip and he's gonna change. I'm like, maybe he will, but there's been nothing in the text of this show to set that up. He's always loyal to her to a fault. Even when he knows it's wrong, he sticks with her. So like, I don't know, do you think he will finally turn now that he knows? I mean, he's always known how terrible she is.
yeah, I mean, they have been kind of setting it up that he's been, his eyes have been getting more and more open, but he's never like outwardly betrayed her. And I don't really even view this like he's like, hey, I view this as really fucking important. We have to stop this. You sit here in your castle, whatever. But I'm gonna go do this. I don't really think that he's betraying her, and that's why ultimately she didn't kill him there, even though it did look like she told the mountain to kill him. I don't know what happened there, but
Yeah, it's so weird how that played. I felt like they needed to do another rewrite of like that whole part, like not just the scene between her and him, but her whole scheming. If you like really look at it closely, it's like, wait, what? How
yeah,
would
it
she
doesn't
have
make a
planned
lot of
for
sense.
this? Yeah, but the fact is, you knew in the end she's gonna fuck everyone over, and I will stick by this as my prediction. Jaime is never going to turn on her. That's what makes him tick is Cersei. So everyone hoping like. Yeah, he might have moments of redemption and he might like consider it, but ultimately he's gonna help fuck people over. I almost guarantee it, but we won't know apparently until forever.
Yeah, 2019,
I don't know if you heard. Yeah,
two
I heard that
years
today. I was
away.
like, oh
Jesus.
man, that's a long time to wait for 6 episodes. You mean to tell me you couldn't have just done a longer season this time and called it the end? Like,
And
it really sucks.
I've heard that like each of those six episodes might be like an hour and a half long.
Well, that's
Which is like,
cool.
what? But why didn't you just spread it out? Like, you know, you could have had
A
10
ten episode
episodes
and art, yeah.
and then had your six episodes or whatever for the end, because you're
I
basically
do.
running a 9-episode season anyway. So
I do kind of dig like 6 movies though at the end. You know what I
that would
mean?
be
Like,
awesome. Yeah, like every week you could sit down and watch like a full movie. That'd be great, but
But God, it's such I almost feel like I won't remember what the hell is going on by that point. Like I'll need to at least watch like the last episode or something again.
the White Walkers took the wall down. That's all you need to know.
So I guess overall, like I don't know.
John's
I
fucking his
don't
aunt.
have. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just I don't have the like major problems like some people have. I have one major problem. It really bugs me, and it really feels like that plot point is going to spin out the what is the rest of the show. But I guess, I mean, you look at it. I hated it, but the episode where they went and did the thing was my favorite episode of the season. Like that fucking ending where like dude grabs a spear, the Night King grabs a spear and throws it at the dragon. I was like, it had never occurred to me. I know that there was like I heard afterwards people were like, yeah, people have been predicting this forever, and I'm like, it never occurred to me that they would have a dragon, or they could get a dragon, or they could kill her dragon. Like, it was just so out of nowhere for me. It's such a cool surprise.
Yeah.
So yeah, I still love Game of Thrones. I'll take this season over season fucking five. I'll tell you that. So, I'm sad we have to wait so long. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's gonna be a rough go. So
Yeah. All right, so that's Game of Thrones. We still like it.
yeah.
I saw a bunch of stuff this week, but I figured I'd bring this one up next because it's brand new. New film, Death Note, that is streaming on Netflix. It's an adaptation of an old anime
I guess
manga. I
I've
don't.
never seen
Yeah.
it, so
Yeah, it's an adaptation of something from Japan, and it's directed by Adam Wingard, who he along with his writing partner Simon Barrett, I thought when they were doing their own original films, they were like on a roll. They did Your Next, and they followed that up with The Guest, which I love The Guest. I love Your Next, and then they did The Blair Witch, which I did not love, and then they did this. I hope that they'll go back to doing their own thing. And I'm sorry, and I should say Simon Barrett did not write Death Note, which is another weird thing. Anyways, so this film, do you know anything about Death Note? Like, what is this about?
It's like a book that you can kill people with, something like
Yes.
that. That's all I know.
That's more than I do. So I just was like, well, it's Adam Wingard and it's on Netflix and it's new, so I'll check it out. So yeah, the premise is this kid finds a book and it's very stupid how he finds it. It falls out of the air right in front of him.
Very anime-ish.
Yeah. So he finds a book and it has instructions in it. And basically what it is you could write a person's name down, you could write down how they die, and they'll die. There's all sorts of little rules, like you could control the last, I think, day or two of a person's life, kind of control what they do almost. You can't pick a manner of death that could not happen, like it has to be physically possible. All sorts of little things like that. And I guess I'll go a little further into the plot. I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but like he starts using it for good, like to like kill people that are bad. So
Okay.
that's like the initial premise. There's like this magical fucking demon thing played by Willem Dafoe, who like is like his guide to using the book. It's weird. Like it's like his genie,
Okay.
Yeah, and then there's people trying to find out who this vigilante is that's killing everybody. This movie is getting a very, very negative reaction all around from almost everybody. Like, critics do not particularly like it, and some of these people who are fans of Death Note, like, were just livid with this adaptation because, I guess, for one, it doesn't follow whatever the plot of the original was. It's kind of its own thing. It like takes the idea of it and like Wingard's doing his own thing with it, an
Okay.
Americanized version of it. So a lot of people are pissed about that. It's also just not a very great movie. I did not hate it. I found it enjoyable. And it's mostly because it moves at such a fast clip. Like, dude, like, it almost. It's weird because, like, people say, oh, it does not follow the source material. This feels like something that is trying to cram a ton of source material into 90 minutes for no goddamn reason. Like, it really, like, it's from plot point to plot point to plot point. There's so many fucking, like, so much exposition and so many things that it has to throw on top into a 90-minute movie. Like, it's insane. But because of that, it's always moving quick. It's, mildly enjoyable. It almost, like, it feels like a late 90s fucking, like, teen horror movie or something. Like, it really has, like, a Final Destination vibe to it, including a couple of the deaths. Like, because he writes in the book, this person's gonna die. Well, the world makes it happen, right? In a
Okay.
way that's kind of like a Rube Goldberg Final Destination type death.
Right.
There's a couple, yeah, there's a couple cool kills. It moves along at a fast enough pace. It's an easy, like, turn off your brain and watch. Like, it's not good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's super watchable, right? But there, yeah, it's also a mess. And I think the lead actor, God, I don't know what the fuck his name is.
Nat Wolf.
Yeah, he's terrible. Like, he's got a face that you just want to fucking punch when you see it. Like, if you look up a picture of him, you'd be like, yeah,
Yeah,
fuck that.
he's kind of like
Yeah.
douchey looking.
Yeah, and he comes off like he's not a good actor, really. But this guy that's haunting him, played by Lakeith Stanfield,
Okay.
who I was trying to figure out what he was from, and then I looked him up. Like, he's been in things I saw. Like, he's in Dope, but I don't remember who he was in Dope, unless he was the main guy, but I don't think he was. Anyways, he's really good in it. The guy that's like chasing him down, trying to figure out his identity. He's just like an interesting thing, some interesting stuff with the part, but like overall, it's just kind of corny and dumb and a mess, but it's something new to watch on Netflix, and it's not like I was not bored watching it, so I guess that's like the best compliment I could give it. This is like the kind of movie I would, if I was rating on Letterboxd, I'd say 2.5. I'll go 3 to be nice to it. Like, it's really not that bad, it's just not good. So
Okay. Just to follow up on that, Lakeith Stanfield was in. He was recently in Get Out. He is the guy that is first kidnapped.
at the very beginning of the
Yeah, and
film.
then you see him later. He has the hat on. At
Okay, yeah.
the meeting of the people.
Yeah, he's good in that. Like, and he's good in this, but like he's one of the few bright spots. Like, Shea Whigham's in Death Note, which I don't know if you know who he is. He is an awesome actor. He almost always like plays like a cop. He plays the kid's dad in this. He is like, I've never seen him give a bad performance, but he just seems lost and unsure what to do here. The guy is really awesome in Boardwalk Empire and a couple other things, dude. But like, yeah, he's kind of wasted here. The guy is very talented, and they just kind of have him being lazy. I don't know, dude. It's like, go ahead and watch it, but you probably won't like it much more than I did, but like, again, like I said, it's not the worst way to spend an hour and a half. It moves along quick enough. There's a couple cool things in it. It's a cool idea too for a story. Like, hey, like,
Yeah.
I kind of dug like the where it went with the plot, where I'm like, okay, he's got a book and he could kill people with it, and I like kind of where it went. Like, oh, he decides to start using it to be a vigilante, and on. But it's just not great execution.
Do wonder who the movie's for, though, right? Like, it's obviously not
Yeah.
for fans because they hated it. And it
Yeah.
doesn't seem like it's enough to like get new people on board because it's just not a very good movie, but
I
I
really
don't know.
wonder, like, yeah. Here's the thing with source material. Like, I understand when we've said this before on the show, like when you adapt a book or something to a film, you can't expect it to be a literal
No.
translation because it's a different medium. But at the same time, you need to respect the source material because there's a reason that you're like, you don't have to, like, someone gave you the blueprint, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't have to reinvent what this is. There's a reason people liked it in the first place. Just try to do the best interpretation of that into a new medium. And I don't know what quite went wrong here. And I don't know what the thinking was. I don't know how long the source material is. Because, like I said, it feels like he jammed a billion things into a 90-minute movie. And maybe he felt he had to do that. It's the same thing. It's like baffling. Like, I keep thinking about the Dark Tower when I bring this up. It's just like, it's baffling to me what they decided to do with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know exactly what happened here either, because like I said, I'm not familiar with the source material. And yeah, but it's like, yeah, it feels like it's probably shitting on fans, and it's also not something that's really gonna grab a wide audience. I think this, I'm sure it did crazy numbers when they first put it up. I feel like it's probably dwindling already, on Netflix, like the terms of people watching it, but.
Yeah, I think last week, if people were gonna watch it, it was last week when it came out, right? Like,
Probably, yeah. I mean, I did somehow. I got
right.
suckered into it. So yeah, it's like I said, I'm giving it a 3, but I'm being generous. I don't know if you are going to be quite as generous for our next film, which I have not seen yet. I actually had it pretty high on my queue. It's Baywatch.
Wow, so Baywatch, it is in the vein of 21 Jump Street, like taking an 80s, 90s property that was a TV show and kind of spinning it into a movie. Baywatch is a weird thing, though. It's like where 21 Jump Street takes the idea of what that TV show was and translates it well. This, I'm not sure what the fuck they were going for. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he plays Mitch Buchanan, which was David Hasselhoff's role. There, Kelly Rohrbach, I'm not really sure who these actresses are, but Kelly Rohrbach plays CJ Parker, which is Pamela Anderson's role. Alexander Daddario, who I have seen in other things. She plays Nicole Eggert's role, Summer Quinn. So like they get these people there, but then those people show up in the movie as those people.
That's weird.
So Mitch Buchanan, The Rock, is also played by David Hasselhoff in the movie. And at the end of the movie,
They're both named
Mitch Buchanan
the what?
and Pamela Anderson shows up at the end of the movie, and she's introduced as like a she's introduced as Casey Jean Parker, but that's still CJ Parker. It, I mean, they're neither here nor there because it's a movie about rescuing people on the beach, but it turns into some like sideshow cop thing where lifeguards are now stopping their crime stoppers or whatever. I don't really remember Baywatch that well. I don't remember that being like
Yeah, wasn't it just like young people hanging out on a beach, basically,
yeah, and
like
like saving
doing their
people every once in a while, and like,
doing their, and
yeah,
there's
like,
like drama between them or whatever,
yeah.
like yeah.
Like, I do remember, like, and I never saw it, but there was like Baywatch Nights, which was like a spin-off where David Hasselhoff, like, did like crime fighting and stuff at nighttime. But
I've never fucking heard of that. That's great.
yeah, that's that.
Cool.
But like they take that premise and they're like, oh, we're gonna do that here with this whole thing, and it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, why is The Rock fighting crime and it, interviewing people and chasing down
Yeah.
leads, and like Zac Efron is like he's like the straight guy to it all. He's like, what the fuck are we doing? This is stupid.
Really, I would have pictured it the other way around, but
Yeah,
regardless.
the straight guy. Like, he's the
That's
one
so
going, like,
weird.
this is dumb. Like,
That's so
whereas
weird.
The Rock is like, let's go do this, like, goofy shit. And I like The Rock. I really do. I think he has really good comic timing. Zac Efron also, like, in, the Neighbors movies. He's actually a pretty charming dude and
I
has
like him.
really good, he has really good timing.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. Like, their material is awful. It's not funny. It's like they try to go for like crude humor, but it's just like it's not amusing crude humor. It's not like, ah, that's funny. It's like, oh, that guy's dick got caught in a wall, and then they're just gonna talk about it for 5 minutes. It's like, that's stupid. Like, I don't, it's so bad.
I haven't seen it yet, and who knows what's going to happen now. But the thing is, like, look at 21 Jump Street, like when they did that, like it made sense, the plot of them like fighting crime and shit, because like that's what the show
They're
was,
fucking
right?
cops. Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
like here they're not cops, they're lifeguards. What are we like? It almost feels like they're just trying to rip off like that idea, but it's like
Yeah.
that idea fit because it was based on something like that. They're just turning it into a comedy. I don't know, it's just so weird. Like if I felt like they should just leaned more into like crappy 90s soap opera shit. Like that's what they should have done. I never watched Baywatch, but I watched like Melrose Place and shit like that. And I'm sure that's what Baywatch basically was.
Yeah, so
Make something like that. Like
here's the basics, like plot synopsis of the TV show. Long running series follows the adventures of a team of lifeguards on a crowded resort beach. So that this takes place on a crowded resort beach. Veteran lifeguard Mitch Buchanan watches over the younger lifeguards that come and go with each passing season as they keep the beaches safe for vacationers. Frequently, he must take action to save them from the raging seas and from the raging tempers that sometimes flare up between the young guards in this stressful job. There's nothing about fucking crime or stopping drugs or like, it is
just
nothing.
do a movie that makes fun of that type of 90s TV show. Like I
Right.
don't understand
You didn't
why it
need to
had to
go
be
with this
like the
weird,
crime angle.
yeah. And it's just stupid because there's like this big. There's this big like conspiracy. The person running the resort, she's running all the drugs, and she's trying to take over all the land on it. And none of it makes sense. It's very like that. The jokes just don't land. And there's things that should be funny. It just they don't hit. And I was just left go scratching my head like, why does this exist? Like, and why are all these like either really good and talented people in it, or like all these like super pretty people? Like, why are they here? Because really, it's just eye candy. Like, that's the only thing going for it.
Rating
Two.
two. All right.
Yeah, it
If you want
made
to see
it through.
real bad, if you want to see real bad Zac Efron, I'm willing to bet. I'm willing to wager almost money on this. I bet you Dirty Grandpa is worse than this.
I still haven't seen that one.
Yes, if you could like find it for free, like on cable or whatever, watch that. It is a fucking train wreck. And like, as much as I like Zac Efron, like there are a few moments in it where he's funny, but like, oh my God, is that movie fucking bad?
It's like with Baywatch, it's like you see him struggling, and even The
Yeah.
Rock too. Like you see them both, like they want this to work, and it just doesn't. Like.
The best, well, yeah, in Dirty Grandpa, Zac Efron's trying. He really is. Robert De Niro is giving zero fucks. He's checked the fuck out. He's thinking about the new bathroom he's building in his fucking place with the paycheck. Like, it's oh my God. Anyways,
Wow.
I might see Baywatch just because there hasn't been a lot of new releases on the DVD front, and it's one of the new ones, so I
Yeah.
might.
There's
But
not that much out there.
yeah, I've been watching a lot of old stuff. But I did see I had a couple new things this week. A lot of them are available on Netflix. And I guess the next one I'll bring up is Desierto. Have you seen trailers for this movie?
No.
Okay, Desierto, if you rent a lot of movies on DVD, you probably saw a trailer for it 3 years ago. I swear to God, I've seen the trailer for Desierto 8 billion fucking times in the last 2 years, and it was a movie that was done and kept getting pushed back. And it got pushed back to a point to where it released now, just recently, and feels probably more timely than it did when it was made. Desierto stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who I believe is like Negan on Walking Dead, right?
Walking Dead, yep.
And Gael Garcia Bernal, who is a very good Mexican actor, who, like, I remember first seeing him in Amores Perros, which is a really good movie. If you guys have not seen that, watch that. It basically stars them too. And all it is Gael's character, he's trying to cross over from Mexico into the US to meet up with some family and, look for work. And he's, traveling like a lot of people do, like packed into the back of a truck with like 20 fucking people, right?
Right.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is this drunk fucking hillbilly that likes to hang around out in the desert and like try to kill animals and shit. But what he really enjoys is killing Mexicans trying to cross the border. And as you can see, like that plot feels a little more timely than it probably did when this movie was filmed.
Yeah.
This is a pure exploitation film. It is taking a serious issue and exploiting it for thrills. There's like gory fucking violence. So like I said, this guy isn't, he's like he's packed in the back of a truck with like 20 people. Well, get prepared to watch like all those fucking people get fucking murdered in cold blood very quickly. And then it becomes a cat and mouse game through the desert with Jeffrey Dean Morgan drinking more and more fucking, I forgot what he's drinking, some sort of whiskey or bourbon, and drive around in his pickup truck with his Confederate flag on it and sniping people, dude. Like, and it just becomes like him chasing the one, like this one guy and this one girl that are left. It's an entertaining movie, dude. Like, it's another one. It moves very quick. It's under an hour and a half. It doesn't have a ton to say about it. It's just, like I said, it's just exploiting something that's serious and just going, here's like a violent fucking movie with a dude chasing down this guy, but it's effective and well made. I mean, it's on Netflix. I think it's totally worth a watch. And this goes to show how wide a range this rating could be. I'm giving it a 3, but it's like, it's good, dude. It's a fun movie. I think some people, the subject matter, they might be like, you shouldn't make a movie like this out of that subject matter. But at the same time, it's a lowbrow entertainment that might raise the issue to people who would never otherwise think about it, So I don't think it's all bad what it's doing. Like it's
Think I'm gonna
showing that
watch
these,
this one.
yeah, it's showing that these people are human. Oh, I think you'll like it. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is very good in it. You don't get to know too much about his character, but like there's one scene you just see him get back into his truck and he just like, he's like, I fucking got him. You guys are gonna come and take over my like you're just like, whoa, dude, like he's like almost crying, but he's also thrilled that he just killed all these people. It's he gives a pretty good performance. It's a definite recommend. It's just like I said, it's not like anything amazing. It's not trying to do anything more than what it is, but it's a fun, cool 90-minute ride,
Cool.
And we are just about out of time. I've saw a billion other things. I don't know if anything else that I told you I saw you wanted me to bring up this episode, but
Oh, let's
if
see.
not,
Check my messages here, 'cause you had a bunch of stuff.
yeah, I've seen a lot in the last week.
Actually, tell me about the Deuce,
Oh
TV show.
yeah. I guess I'll close off with that. Yeah, so The Deuce is a new TV show from David Simon, who did The Wire, and this has got like an A-list cast. It's James Franco and more James Franco. James Franco.
Maggie Gyllenhaal's in it.
Yeah, those are like the two big ones off the top of my head. Method Man. It really feels like it's going to become James Franco and Maggie Gyllenhaal's show. And the pilot's available to watch on HBO, even though it hasn't technically aired yet. It airs, I think, September 10th or something. It's about, at least in the pilot, it's about prostitution in New York City in 1971. James Franco's character doesn't really play into that, but I could kind of see where it's going to go a little bit. James Franco is just like a bartender in New York who's trying to better himself and make more money. He's got a loser brother, also played by James Franco, who owes a bunch of money. Then you got Maggie Gyllenhaal, who is a prostitute who works on her own. I think where the series is gonna go, and this is just based on like trailers and stuff, is like it's gonna be like an evolution from prostitution into porn.
Yeah,
Like Maggie
that's the
Gyllenhaal
vibe I
was,
got.
which I don't know, like that whole like Boogie Nights is one of my top 10 favorite movies, and that's kind of like the same. It's not about prostitution, but it's about the transition from 70s to 80s in porn. This is kind of like in that vein, though. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell where it's going. It's very graphic. I mean, I must have counted at least three erect dicks in the first episode, which you don't see on TV very often, including one that was like, it's like a teenager. Like, he looks like he's like not 18. So it's crazy, like, and yeah, it's just high pedigree. It's very well made. The first episode's an hour and a half. It's like 87 minutes. I'm on board after the first one. I'm like, I want to see more. You got these like pimp characters in there as well, and you're just kind of like spending a lot of time in the first episode getting to know who James Franco is, getting to know what Maggie Gyllenhaal is, but then also like this whole other assortment of characters, cops, pimps, other prostitutes, and it's kind of going into the detail of like, what their lives are. I have complete faith in it. Like David Simon is a genius. The Wire is one of the best shows ever made. That talked about kind of problems in urban America in present day. I am sure he will bring the same journalistic eye to what this is. Yeah, it's just pretty. It's not a super strong pilot, but it's really well made. And like by the end of it, you're like, I felt like I'm strapped in. I'm ready to go to see more. So,
Cool.
let's give yeah, I'm giving it a recommend to check out. I know for some people, like the subject matter again is not going to be a cup of tea. It's very much it's about prostitution. So and it's pretty graphic, but I'm enjoying it, and I could tell it's probably gonna go some interesting places. And there will be violence, I'm sure, mixed in and drugs. There's definitely very strong hints of that too in the pilot, like in terms of like it does kind of end on a violent act. So I'm very intrigued, but I also have kind of complete faith that it's gonna be just good, just fine. And I need something. All the other TV shows have kind of aired at this point. Game of Thrones. Oh, we got Stranger Things coming up, and I guess this for me. Those are two big ones for the rest of the year. So,
Yeah. Actually, next week is, I mean, I don't think we'll have it by then, but it'll be right about then.
Yeah, I don't know for sure what we will do for next week. Kind of thinking about doing the favorite films of the 2010s.
Okay.
Type thing. We might do that depending on how much content we have and stuff we've seen. But yeah, the week after that, we should have Stephen King's It, which I'm hearing very positive things about.
Me too.
We'll have our favorite Stephen King films, and the week following, we will be kicking off our. Well, that will start our Halloween episodes, and then we'll be kicking off our Friday the 13th rewatch. It's gonna be fun. I'm like, dude, I'm so chomping at the bit to start this Friday the 13th thing, but I don't want to watch part one and two. And then when we do that episode, it's been almost a month since I've watched it.
Yeah.
But I'm just dying to get into the Halloween spirit here. It's crazy.
Very soon, very, very soon.
So yeah, that's what we have on the horizon. Next week, we'll see. But we have it pretty planned out after that. So thanks for listening and come back.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.